This is the Mysterious Matters of Max Metters podcast, number 9. Mysterious Matters of Max Metters is a novel I wrote in 1991. If this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, please go back and start with episode 1, which explains what's going on here. This podcast is a kind of audiobook in the hopes that you will like it and pick up a copy. Mysterious Matters of Max Metters by Peter Gelman. I will now read chapter 8. When I woke up, I sat up and said something like, "Smudgevank," which Mary, who was already awake and wondering her dreamy secret thoughts, understood as "smudge of ink," and we spent a few sleepy minutes wondering what kind of dream could end with that as its the end. Yeah, the cops had got you for some very serious capital punishment crimes of passion, bad boy, and they was taking your fingerprints in a smudge of ink and found my body all over 'em. Ooh, yes'm. I do seem to remember that kind of smudgevank dream. It was a smudge of the ink of love. I was feeling really radiant, not Xeroxed with yesterday's bliss of nicks. But now that feeling had me flat, and I felt obscene for not feeling it yesterday. Mary left to go to work, and I did too. I was working in a parking lot uptown, and I hated it. But I did it because it gave me a lot of time to read and think and not care about the job. And I didn't have to wear nice clothes and be a nice middle-class kid. The bad thing was that a lot of kids came out of the bars drunk and mean and tried to make you feel bad. And in that kind of job, you were a fly on the wall that the bigwigs didn't even bother to disguise all the illegal things they were doing, making money off their own connived bankruptcies and screwing waitresses in their cars in exchange for cocaine and stealing from city construction sites pipes and bricks. Things they didn't need, they just wanted to put in the Bobcat's utility garage for miserly joy. At first, I wanted to know. But when it was worse than anything I ever imagined, I didn't want to know about it anymore, because it made me beyond angry to sick of humanity, self-destructive and hopeless of progress and personally helpless. But for a while after Mary was sleeping with me, it didn't bother me, because although I was trying not to think of her at work and spoil her by bad work thoughts, I was happier, and I could ignore them a little easier. Also, someone quit after the boss yelled at him, so I had seniority, and I didn't have to work the night shifts. So I didn't have to deal with the drunks. Instead, I drove the Bobcat and plowed the snow after every storm. And I liked driving the little bulldozer around. I thought about quitting sometimes because I couldn't do it all my life. But last fall, I had planted some seeds and cracks and dirt patches in the asphalt. And I wanted to wait until the spring and see if anything besides weeds would come up. Dirty cabbage and carrots with the ice cream cone wrapper crabgrass. Arthur was long gone now, somewhere hundreds of miles into the deep blue salty. Alexander, my brother, called and said he was sick of the capital because he hadn't seen the world yet and he was getting old. So he said he was going to move off somewhere. Only he didn't know where yet. I told him to take my car, which I had left there, and he said he had assumed I would say that, thanks. He didn't ask how I was. Lafcadio called every week, but I was always busy, because I had no time for his benevolent evil. I saw Tim once to pay him back $20, which he promptly returned, buying beer for me, and another time we sat together, but just got depressed, so I left early, apologizing. Mary never told me her secret, though I did expect her to, and wondered, pondered, plundered my ignorance for a nice, cute little answer. But all I could think of were bad, mean, awful answers that would hurt a lot. She was kind of a furious person. She didn't run, she stalked. She didn't roll, she huddled in a muddle, then sprang and ran away. Sometimes her head lay a little too heavy and tight against her soft chest, her eyes closed tight. When I tried to talk to her sometimes, her ears were pincushions. Sometimes they were anvils. When we walked to the bars and back, she walked crack to crack with guilt and glee and guilt on purpose on the sidewalk cracks. You understand? With each steady step, she broke her mother's back. This woman, sometimes she straitjacketed herself with her pale arms. She destroyed her face when she thought bad thoughts, and I knew no reason for it. She whitewashed her freckles when we went out to the punk clubs. She had this idea that it was pure alabaster punk, as if freckles were spots of sin. Drove me crazy, drove me distracted and lazy. I blamed her for the wrong things and gave in too much. She made me ass backward, but it was mostly wonderful then. She was a smudged postage cancellation on a postcard from Mystery Town. She was the proof of it. After 3-4 weeks, she seemed to fall back to somewhere else. That wasn't me, and boy, that made me crazy. And at the same time, there came a false spring that fooled the whole city. Melting snow, mud flies thawing out and circling about my boots, kicking soft glass of melting ice, kicking ice to cracks beyond which dawn explodes. Spring! But it wasn't spring. It was February. Still, the day of birds, diamond cut, a white slash, laceration, cross the green sky. A golden, false spring coagulated over the city. Birds beaked insectable delectables and sung their wings crimson. But there was a blue, plain, lonesome, jazzy blue behind it. Oh, curling land, how grown my heavy, how lusty my fat so. Oh, my country, how useless could I be? Pretty useless. I was pining. The parking lot closed 3 weeks for construction, so I found a temp job for writing junk mail addresses by hand because people wouldn't open computer-printed junk mail envelopes. My handwriting was terrible. The boss liked that. Mary, Mary, I smiled goodbye in the mirror. Mary made me awkward and oh so deliciously uncomfortable. I strode a stray memory of her already, awake in the night, snared in slumber's gravity, vagrant with visions. I shuffled around town, sometimes with her, sometimes without, walking a dry breeze, cool with parchment, written, Ymir Yaki. I kicked a can into a brown fern. I looked down into the gravel, down into the pavement. I saw the stunted silver in the rock. I saw the ancient pine twigs wet with promise of spring. False! I braced myself for the return of the long, gray, Stalinist Minnesota winter. Even the birch bark crunched like urban broken glass. It was still frozen beneath the wet. I sought a square deal, but made do with the day's square meal. My, my, she was my American apple pie. I ate of her like she was my mantra. Even so, I was afraid of her secret. The totalitarian chill came back with a blizzard, fury of cold, death pure white. It was Alabaster Town, freckles outlawed by nature's apartheid. I watched the big flakes, lazy, fall down from the white night as I stomped the chilly way home from work. Where was I? Lost town, lost boy, does no good. I felt like she wasn't all the way my good, true friend. I felt bad because I doubted her, and in doubt, made myself weak, prey, rudderless merchandise, to the she pirates, buccaneering for a physical flirtation. Where was I? Tim's place, with Lafcadio, Mike, and Yvonne, Fran. What mothy soft figure rubbed her foot on my ankle? It was Yvonne. Up to no good was good enough for me, but it made me sick. And I felt so bad, I almost fainted, and I ran out without saying goodbye. I thought you was crazy. What was that? What was with you? You could at least have called out bingo. Bingo, right, exactly, rocking my hips. It was the smudgevank, man. What? Speaking to the phone, you're mumbling. Smudgevank. What? Nothing. When I ran home, I saw a Mercedes and a license plate that said Mare01E, and also a billboard that said in big gothic letters, I have a secret. And I knew I was going crazy, but the city was right there with me. Thank you for listening. Mysterious Matters of Max Metters by Peter Gelman is available as a traditional paper book from popular online booksellers. It is also available as an ebook for Kindle and Nook and other formats. The Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License protects this work. Thank you.